Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture reading for today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hear these words. If we are crazy, it's for God's sake. If we are rational, it's for your sake. The love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, one died for the sake of all. Therefore, all died. He died for the sake of all, so that those who are alive should not live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards, even though we used to know Christ by human standards. That isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you have already been speaking to us through word and song. Continue to speak. Open our ears and our hearts to hear your message for us today. Open our hearts to embrace the courage it takes to be your representatives in this world, to join you in your ministry of reconciliation. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When I was in high school, my best friend would often get into conflict with her dad. Now, if you either know or have ever been a teenage girl, you know that conflict is kind of part of the deal. And so sometimes she and her dad would butt heads about various topics. Her dad thought she drove too fast, and she disagreed. She thought her dad's dad jokes were not funny, and he disagreed. He thought she stayed up too late on Friday, Saturday nights, and she slept in too late on the weekends. He thought she needed to get up and be more productive and doing things. She disagreed. She said, no, I don't need to do all those things. She thought her dad ate too much junk food and that he needed to exercise and take better care of himself through what he ate, and he disagreed. And so often they would be driving around in the car or at the house, and they would be going back and forth about these disagreements. And at first it starts out kind of playful and kind of funny, and then it kind of gets to where it's contentious and sometimes hurtful. And in the midst of those moments, her dad would just reach over and press an imaginary button and say, "Reset." Now you can imagine my friend did not like this at all. She said, no, you can't do that. You can't call a timeout or a do-over. Like, they were in the middle of it. And it was often when she felt like she was right that he would hit that reset button and think that they could just go back to the beginning, go back to square one, go back to the beginning of the conversation, and perhaps work out a better outcome or avoid a conflict altogether. Sometimes that reset worked, and sometimes it did not. We're in the middle of our refresh sermon series. And you know that when you hit the refresh button on the computer, sometimes it works automatically and it's like, yay! And then sometimes you hit that button and it spins and you wait and wait and wait. The computer takes its sweet time, and you and I, we have to be patient. Our lives and our relationships often need a refresh or a reset. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, sometimes that refresh or reset for our lives and our relationships takes its sweet time. We cannot just hit a reset button and automatically resolve all the conflicts in our relationships. If only it were that quick and easy. We cannot just hit a reset button and instantly repair all of the heartache and the suffering and the inequity that's in our world. We cannot hit that reset button and make all things new. There is a term for this relational reset. It's called reconciliation, or the verb reconcile. We often hear the term reconciliation in the context of accounting. So for instance, the church reconciles its accounts by comparing our records, our church financial records, with the bank statements to make sure everything matches. All money is received, so all donations, all offerings, it all matches what the bank shows as deposits, right? And then any expenses that the church has made, payroll or paying for coffee supplies or whatever it may be, all of those expenses show up as withdrawals. And so you hope that the bank statement and the church's statement matches. It lines up, that they're identical. In the context of relationships, reconciliation, it's not always about matching. In relationships, reconciliation is about resolving of differences, a restoring to friendship. Reconciliation involves agreement and acceptance. It's a realignment back into healthy relationship. Now, sometimes we hear about reconciliation in the context of relationships when it doesn't happen. You may have heard the term irreconcilable differences. These are differences that cannot be resolved and relationships that cannot be restored. People part ways and they end a relationship or one season of a relationship because they cannot agree. They cannot accept new developments. The ending of the relationship due to irreconcilable differences, it's hard. Whether it's a marriage or a friendship or some other type of family relationship, it is hard and it is deeply painful. And yet, even when that happens, it can still be healthy. People may come to terms with the ending of the relationship as it once was and can choose to depart from one another in peace. The ending of that one relationship may create something new, something that neither party could have envisioned for themselves. Reconciliation is a process of bringing people together who were once separated. It's a process of making whole. And it's not quick. It's not easy. It requires time and patience and understanding. Reconciliation is biblical and theological. We heard in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that the ministry of Jesus Christ is a ministry of reconciliation. People are separated from God. People cannot restore their relationship with God on their own. People need divine help and intervention. And so God chose to overcome this separation between God and people so that we can be made whole with God, so that we can be reconciled with God. God enters the separation in the flesh of Jesus Christ. God in Jesus Christ does not count people's sins against them. God does not wait for people to get it right or to have it all together or to even know the wrong that they've done. God says, I'm reaching out to you first. I don't want to be separated from you. God in Jesus steps into the separation and willingly reconnects us with God through self-sacrifice and unconditional love. Reconciliation is God's work. We hear this throughout Scripture, and so I'm just going to throw out some Scripture passages where we hear this work of God's reconciliation. From Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. But God shows his love for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous with his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? From Colossians chapter 1, we hear, because of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ, and Jesus reconciled all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or in the heavens. He brought peace through the blood of his cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies with him in your minds, which was shown by your evil actions. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you before God as a people who are holy, faultless, and without blame. In Ephesians chapter 2 describes reconciliation as peace and wholeness. Hear these words, Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. God reconciles people, you and me, and brings us back into alignment with God, into alignment with God's original desire for us, that we live in communion with God and with one another and with all creation. God reconciles people and resolves differences. God breaks down barriers. God says sometimes the old things have to go away so that something new can emerge. Galatians chapter 3 says, you are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. God reconciles people and restores people in relationships. And just as God has reconciled people to God, God says, hey, I want you to join with me in this ministry of reconciliation. God entrusts you and me to do this work alongside God. We are called to be channels of God's reconciliation in this world. We're called to no longer judge by human standards, but to look at people with the eyes of Jesus Christ. We are to allow the love of Jesus to guide us, to direct our lives, and to influence our interactions with other people. We're to look around and notice the barriers, notice the divisions that exist amongst us. We're called to reach out across those barriers and divisions and seek to overcome hatred or suspicion or mistrust or anything that separates us. In the communion liturgy in the United Methodist Church, we pray that we will become one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. That's reconciliation, my friends, that we may become one in our words, in our actions, and our lifestyles. God has been about the business of reconciliation really since the very beginning. And certainly long before the term reconciliation was identified with the inclusion of LGBTQ plus people. And yet, as Melanie talked about in the video, we find ourselves at a particular time in the life of our church where the term reconciling means, how do we include LGBTQ persons? So let's talk about that for a few moments. The organization that's now known as Reconciling Ministries Network began kind of officially in 1984, although people had been doing the work of reconciliation before then. They formed in 1984 to advance intersectional justice and full inclusion for all LGBTQ plus people in the United Methodist Church and beyond. This group has been working for a long time, longer than I've been alive, to break down barriers and to bring about unity among all people in Jesus Christ. In order for a person, a ministry group, or a church to officially become reconciling in the United Methodist Church and join Reconciling Ministries Network, that person, or 75% or more of a ministry group or church, votes to support this foundational statement. And so I have it on the screen here. This is from Reconciling Ministries Network, and this is what people are asked to affirm or to support. We celebrate, let's read this together, shall we? We celebrate God's gift of diversity and value the wholeness made possible in community, equally shared and shepherded by all. We welcome and affirm people of every gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation, who are also of every age, race, ethnicity, physical and mental ability, level of education and family structure, and of every economic, immigration, marital, and social status, and so much more. We acknowledge that we live in a world of profound social, economic, and political inequities. As followers of Jesus, we commit ourselves to the pursuit of justice and pledge to stand in solidarity with all who are marginalized and oppressed. The new class is a Sunday school class here at First Church, and they were the first group to affiliate with Reconciling Ministries Network. They affirmed this statement by 75% or more of the class's membership, and they became an official reconciling group. Forward Together, All Meets All, that's that group that Melanie in the video leads. It's a reconciling group here at First Church that for over 5 years has been working specifically for reconciliation. They've worked to educate other small groups and Sunday school classes and groups here at the church. And because of some of their work of outreach and education, the McCray Sunday School class, the Thursday morning women's Bible study, the flower ministry, the serve team, the chancel choir, the modern worship team, both handbell choirs, and church council have since become reconciling groups here in the church. And so with so many groups becoming reconciling, that's when we thought it was time to pull the congregation and to see where the whole church was with this idea of reconciliation. 80% of the respondents of this straw poll said that they supported this reconciling statement that's before you. 15% did not support, and 5% were undecided. Reconciling Ministries Network says 75% is the threshold. And so since our straw poll exceeded that threshold, both Forward Together and Church Council voted to move forward with a congregational vote. This vote is scheduled for Sunday, September 17th at 5 o'clock here in person in the CWC, as well as also on Zoom at the same time. All church members and participants, active youth and adults, are welcome to participate in that vote. And we hope that you'll be here that evening, either in person or by Zoom. And if you've noticed on the blog that's on the website or in some of the newsletter articles that have gone out, Pastor Vance has addressed some of the comments and questions that came up from the straw poll. And so I just want to reiterate one of the kind of commonly asked questions was that, well, there's a lot of injustice in the world. There's a lot of inequity. There's a lot of problems in the world. So why are we focusing only on LGBTQ plus persons? I would say that aligning and supporting this statement and aligning with Reconciling's ministry network does not mean that we only care about people in the LGBTQ plus community. When you look at this statement, it also says we care about really all people. So that means women and women's rights. It means we care about young people and old people. We care about rich and poor, people of color, immigrants, refugees, people with physical and developmental challenges, people experiencing homelessness, and the list goes on. And sometimes we do focus on a particular group. And sometimes that focus helps us become more aware of the needs of that group and how we might be moved to action and to solidarity and to work alongside that group. So yeah, right now we find ourselves at a particular time in the life of our church when we're voting to become reconciling in respect to people who identify as LGBTQ+. But friends, you and I know that's not the only work of reconciliation that needs to be done. There is so much more work that needs to be done to break down the walls of hatred and misunderstanding that divide us. As you heard from Melanie in the video, Forward Together wants to address some of those issues. They want to work with other marginalized, oppressed, and oppressed groups. And so if you have a passion for working with a particular group and you want to do something to stand for justice and to work to do good in the world on behalf or with another group, please join Forward Together. They would love to join you in that work. There is more reconciliation for us to do as individuals and as a church. As Christ has reconciled us to God, Christ has also included us in this ministry of reconciliation. I came to understand reconciliation as a Christian practice when I was in seminary at Duke Divinity School. Duke has a center for reconciliation that has worked for racial reconciliation here in the United States, as well as for reconciliation among tribal groups in sub-Saharan Africa. I had the opportunity through that program, through my time at seminary, to spend time in Uganda for a summer internship. And friends, I didn't think I really needed reconciliation until I went and I lived it for a summer. You see, as a white, female, Protestant American among Black, mostly Catholic Ugandans, I was in the minority. I had a lot to learn. I thought I knew, but it wasn't until I lived it. Till I prayed and worshiped in a language that was not my own. Until I ate with and played and laughed with and even cried with people who were very different from me. That I began to see the barriers in me coming down. That I began to see and understand in a new way. I thought I knew. But it wasn't until I lived it that then I knew that I knew. Prior to that summer, I would have told you, yes, God loves all people, and God calls me to love all people. But it was after that summer internship experience where, in the midst of extreme poverty, in the midst of inequality, I saw such rich joy and abundant generosity, where I felt myself embraced and met with unconditional love, that then I knew that God indeed loves all people, and that God was calling me to love all people and to lead as a pastor in the church, to lead a church, to love all people. Dr. Emmanuel Katangale was my seminary professor and the former director of the Center for Reconciliation at Duke. And he offers us this vision of reconciliation. He says, Jesus is God's recreation of a world stuck in chronic conflict. Christ calls those who follow him to see the world that God has illuminated, a world of new possibilities, a new creation. In the midst of profound uncertainty, Jesus has called us to walk together in our hopes, our fears, and our dreams, hoping for the recreation of all things. And so today, friends, as we invite you to reconcile, I ask you, will you walk together with other people and hope for God's recreation of all things? Will you join God in God's ministry of reconciliation? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we do not walk alone, for you are with us. You enter into the hard and uncomfortable spaces ahead of us, and with us and behind us. And so now, as we prepare to leave this place, will you go with us again? Will you remind us again of your presence? Will you fill us with your peace and with your power, that we may be bold enough to reach out to those who are different from us, that we may be courageous enough to love, we may be wise to listen, and ready to act out that love. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.